On a crisp Friday morning, a sea of green, red and yellow Otomo flags lines the streets of Melbourne. The city's Otomo community is demonstrating to draw attention to human rights abuses facing Otomos back in Ethiopia. The protesters halt trams and cars, chanting and handing out fresh roses with tags quoting Martin Luther King Jr.'s famous words, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." The Otomo people are the largest indigenous ethnic group in Ethiopia, but they've historically been marginalised and discriminated against by successive Ethiopian governments. Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International have long documented widespread discrimination, violence and arbitrary arrests against the Otomo people. One young girl, who asks not to be identified, explains why she's come out to protest.
I feel like I'm standing in solidarity with the Oromo people here in Melbourne and also with many other cities around the world. We want to get the news out that there are people being killed, peacefully protesting for their constitutional rights, being killed for speaking up.
The Oromo students in Ethiopia are calling for full implementation of the country's constitution, which includes UN human rights principles, as well as provisions for self-determination. These guarantees extend to both Oromia State and the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa. But while the capital is located in the state, it falls under the central government's administration, and the government wants to expand its boundaries into Oromo lands.
Oromos together!
Sereti Kadir is one of the organisers of the ongoing worldwide protests.
We're here today because the Ethiopian government has announced this plan that is going to be displacing up to 2 million Oromo people. So this means not only do the identities of these towns that are no longer going to exist become dissolved, which are predominantly Oromo, but Oromo people and farmers become displaced and don't have a way to actually earn a proper income.
The government's planned expansion of Addis Ababa, known as the Master Plan, is just one of many such plans that has affected the Oromo region and forced the indigenous people from their lands. Under the Abyssinian colonial rule during the 20th century, the Oromo language was banned and the Amharic culture was imposed. The ban was only lifted in 1991, as Toltu Tufer explains.
This is not the first master plan. There's been a number of other ones, and this is the 10th instalment of the master plan. So the reality is, even though there's recognition of Oromo provinces and regions, the fact that these areas will be transitioned away under the federal district of the Ethiopian government is essentially another form of recolonisation one more time, which has implications for language, for culture, lifestyle and economic and social well-being.
Amongst the flags and roses, protesters wear white and black t-shirts with the hashtag Oromo Protests printed on the back, symbolising the powerful role that social media plays in this movement. In a country where press freedom is in decline, this has been a major tool to get information out. For 19-year-old organiser and blogger Sereti Kadir, the recent arrests of three journalists and six bloggers, known as Zone 9, is just more evidence of the Ethiopian government suppressing of dissent.
It's been people who are blogging, people who are using Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, who have really pioneered this entire movement. And these bloggers have been arrested because the Ethiopian government's major tactic in making sure these things don't spread is a suppression of freedom of speech.
The Ethiopian government argues the master plan will be a step forward for the Ethiopian people and the economy, and dismisses the recent unrest, saying the protesters are being manipulated by the media inside and outside the country. One of the largest protests in the diaspora was in Minnesota, which boasts an Oromo population of 40,000. The Oromo Community of Minnesota's executive director, Hassan Hussein, says the Ethiopian government often seeks to discredit protests in this way.
Every time there is a protest in the country, be it in the Oromia region, the capital itself, or elsewhere in the country, the government blames, points its fingers at external forces. This has been the custom, the tradition of this regime since it came to power, rather than, looking at itself and trying to see if its policies had anything to do with why people go on a protest.
Hussein says the situation is getting worse, with more crackdowns on the protests this week.
The last 5 days alone, there were reports that in one city there were 152 people who were wounded in the city of Najo and also in Nakamte and another small town in Gori. And according to a report I received this morning, in the town of Nakamte alone, there were over 600 students that are detained.
The Australian Oromo community is planning another protest in Australia's capital, Canberra, when Parliament resumes next week. Rachel Buongiorno, FSRN, Melbourne.